It's great to be back here this morning. The last time I was here, it was for Pastor's installation. How long ago was that?
2 years this August.
2 years this August, yeah. And almost every Sunday, I'm out to another congregation, visiting, sharing God's word. And most of those congregations that I go to and see are smaller than the last time I saw them. But I can't say that about you, right? That God is growing you, your spirit, your love. He's sending his Holy Spirit. I know that you recently started a Wednesday night service. I think that's wonderful. You're connecting to your community. Those are all signs of health. And every congregation in the Northern Illinois District, so there's about 200, just under 200. Everyone hits some high points and some of them hit low points. I think we've been around here for some low points too. So rejoice at the high points and how God provided a good pastor. Just in case you were concerned about my teams, since he brought up teams, my teams are the Milwaukee Brewers and the Green Bay Packers. So, see, I'm not alone here, Pastor. The text, I would like you to turn back in your bulletin, if you would. The text is actually the epistle reading for today, the last paragraph from 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and Pastor referred to it actually in the children's message, which was very well done, but verses 6 through 11. Can we read that out loud together? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, strengthen you, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to talk this morning about being in the trenches. When you leave here this morning, you're going to be in the trenches. And obviously, trenches kind of has kind of a military theme to it, right? That people who are in the military are usually fighting in the trenches toward the enemy. Our whole lives, though, are about being in the trenches. I was thinking about, in 1990, I graduated from the seminary. For 4 years, you learn a lot of great theology. You talk about a lot of things. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I was 1990. What year did you graduate from the seminary? 2016. Oh, he's just a kid. Just a kid. But it's amazing that when you, after you graduate from the seminary, you get ordained, you get installed, and you think everything is going to be like it was at the seminary, and people are going to ask you to parse Greek verbs or Hebrew or ask questions. You talk about the seminary, it's not cemetery, the seminary. And you find out that people that you get to serve, people like you, are living in the trenches. That life can be really hard and challenging. That you deal with your next door neighbor and the people at work. You deal with your own struggles. All of our families have stuff going on. And that's life in the trenches. Or as we think about those who are graduating from high school or college now, and those times can be great, bunch of friends, but then you get what we would say is the real world, right? When you got to get a job, you're worried about insurance, you're worried about what's next in life, and it's life in the trenches. And those can be, for pastors, a difficult adjustment. Well, at least it was for me. And I think as we watch people graduate from college, can be a difficult adjustment, getting a job, finding a place to live and life. in the trenches. It's a little bit like coming to church on Sunday. By the way, I have to say that you are, don't lose the friendliness you have for each other. And the laughter, the banter that goes on before churches. There are a lot of places where there's not a lot of life and you walk in and it doesn't seem like it's a very life-given community, but I could tell when I walked in here, it is a very life-giving community. You walk in and somebody actually is happy to see you. And I can tell that that sharing of the peace at the beginning of worship is really important. Your pastor brings you life from God's word and sacrament, but as we heard about, you give life to each other. Makes a tremendous difference when somebody actually smiles at you and is actually glad you're at church, right? And I only say that because that is not characteristic of some of the congregations that I get to visit. So view that as a precious gift. But if we get it right, you're not going to be here for 2.5 hours today, right? I don't know how long he keeps you, but you're going to go home and maybe do some lawn work, and you're going to get ready for Monday morning and whatever challenges. And you have this holy huddle that we have here this morning, and then you're going to go back into the trenches. And it's not always easy. It's challenging and disappointing. One of the things that the devil wants to do is discourage you. He wants to bring you from the life that you have here. He wants to pull you into despair. And take a look at what's happening in our culture. There's a lot of despair, a lot of anxiety, a lot of loneliness out there. And you know what? The devil considers that a win. Because he wants to pull you from your hope. He wants you to give a nod to the ascended Lord. And he wants to pull you down. And if he can pull you down, he wants to pull the people around you down. Life in the trenches. And now, it's very interesting. Pastor and I were just at a conference where our speaker talked about 1 Peter. And, you know, it's not written for a bunch of pastors. It wasn't written for the seminaries. It wasn't written for the theologians. It was written for people like you and me who live life in the trenches and see all the crazy things going on in the world and all the attacks that come the way of Christians. And remembering in all of this that that prowling lion wants to pull us and wants to destroy us and wants to discourage us. I mean, the ultimate thing he wants you to do is steal your faith. He wants to take your faith from you. People like us need to hear what Peter has to write to these Christians. Because they were facing challenges. They were suffering for their faith. They were experiencing the troubles of this life. And he gives them a word of hope and encouragement. And everything that Peter writes, you know what, is connected to Jesus, to his life, to his suffering, to his death and resurrection, and to his ascension. And how important that is that you take what you receive when you are here into your life, that your God is an ever-present God. He's present here in very special ways. He's present by his word and spirit. He's present in your life by his Holy Spirit. You have an ever-present God. An ever-present God who is at work in the joys and the challenges of our lives. It is interesting, by the way, that words right before this text that aren't a part of it, but is a quote from Proverbs, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'll read it again. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Because pride wants to take us away from God. pride really wants to make us God, right? I mean, wouldn't you like to be king for a day? Like everything goes your way. Would you like to be God for the day? Because we've prayed and we thought, in my prayers, sometimes they give God advice. This is what you should do. This is when you should do it. And this is how you should do it. You ever do that? That's sinful pride. And so it shouldn't surprise us this morning when Peter says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, because your hand isn't mighty, my hand isn't mighty, your ways aren't mighty, and my ways aren't mighty, but His ways are mighty. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. But He doesn't leave you there, so that He can lift you up. So that He can lift you up. And I bet there's been a time in your life when life humbled you, when you felt beaten, when you felt broken. And yet God amazingly can use those experiences, because we draw near to God and He lifts us up. You know, it's interesting. Jesus has something to say about that, that the person that exalts himself will be humbled. But the person who humbles himself will be lifted up. Your ever-present God. And I want to point out just one verse there. Does anybody remember going through confirmation class and having a blue catechism? Any remember those blue catechisms? Mine was like the old version with the King James Version. I still remember memorizing this passage. Cast all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. Cast all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. And I memorized it. But it goes from one thing when you memorize something to your heart, right? And actually, it isn't cast like you do it once, but it's casting. Casting all your anxieties. Giving them to Him. Now, I don't know if anybody else wakes up at 3 a.m. in the morning. Anybody else wake up 3 a.m. in the morning worrying about... It is amazing the things that run through your mind at 3 a.m., right? 2 a.m., later, earlier. And I was having one of those seasons where I was not casting, but I was keeping. And as I was contemplating, this passage ran into my mind. Cast all your cares. And in my Bible, I have the little word all underlined. Cast all of them. Now, what is your all? I won't trouble you with my all, but what is your all? You have some all that other people know about, but you also have some all that nobody else knows about, right? Casting all your cares, all your anxieties on the Lord. But do you notice that that passage doesn't end there? Because what else does that passage say? Because what? He cares for you. I gotta admit, I'm a pastor. But sometimes I forget that He cares for me. And do you ever forget that He cares for you? And right away, you know, the devil says, but you know what you did or what you said, or do you remember what you didn't do? And the devil tries to cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. In spite of what's wrong and broken and hurting in your life, He cares for you. And if you would read the whole epistle here, you'd find out that Peter makes this argument, he gives this encouragement based on Jesus. How do I know that God cares for me? How do I know that I can cast my anxieties on Him? How do I know that it's going to be okay? Because He cares for you. He never stopped caring for you. Maybe there was a time when you weren't here. Maybe there was a time when you were angry with God. Maybe there was a time when you threw up your hands and in despair. He didn't quit caring for you. And as I was sitting here preparing for worship, I couldn't help but look at your processional cross. You probably look at this every week. And it's really easy to kind of take for granted the body that hung on the cross, isn't it? But that was a real body that hung on a cross. That was a real Savior that hung on the cross. That was a real Savior who bore God's wrath for your sin and mine. That he did do that to let the Father know that he cares for you, to let the world know that he cares for you, and so that you don't have a doubt today that he cares for you. Not only did he die, but he was buried because he cares for you. Not only did he die and was buried, but he rose again because he cares for you. Not only did he live a perfect life, not only did he give his life on the cross, not only was he buried, not only was he raised from the dead for your justification, but he ascended into heaven. Why? Because he cares for you. Now, I hope you're not just thinking about yourself this morning, but perhaps you could be thinking about somebody who's not here. And perhaps part of your mission this week is to let them know that he cares for them. Maybe it's a person at work. Maybe it's a next door neighbor. Maybe it's somebody who hasn't been here and maybe they got their nose bent out of joint for something. Not only does he care for them, but we care for them. We bear each other's burdens. We pray for each other. We encourage, we laugh together, and we cry together in the trenches. And in the trenches, as we heard, we have, you have an antagonistic enemy. You have, I have, the church has an antagonistic enemy. And please don't forget that if God is doing some beautiful things in this congregation and in this congregation into this community, that devil does not like that. He does not like what you are doing. He doesn't like what you're doing right now. He doesn't like it when you encourage. He doesn't like it when you share your faith. The devil is a roaring lion, seeks someone to devour. And as we heard better than I'll say, resist him, standing firm in the faith. And you know what the object of that faith is? Christ. Knowing that there are other people in the trenches. The story of the church has been people who have been in the trenches. People who have faced the opposition of the world and the opposition of the devil. But you know what the faithful didn't do? They didn't give up. And sometimes they fell on their face, and guess what? The Lord picked them up and cleaned them up, just like you and me. Ever-present God in the trenches. And an ever-antagonistic enemy, but please remember, Satan does not have the power of Jesus. Jesus defeated Satan. And you want to know why Jesus defeated the Satan? For the church, for the world, and Jesus defeated Satan for you. Let me say it again. Jesus defeated Satan for you. And finally, an ever-powerful God. To the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be the dominion forever. I underlined a word in my Bible. We referred to it before. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. I underline it again. The God of all. What is it? The God of all grace. Do you ever wonder if you're going to have enough? Have you ever felt like, have I done enough? Well, this is the God of all grace for you, an ever-powerful God. He is going to get you through this life. He is going to get me through this life. He is going to get his church through this world. He has the dominion and he has the glory and he has the power. And the beautiful thing is that you and I living in the trenches are not living on the losing side. You and I living in the trenches, living in this world with all the challenges, you and I are living on the winning side. He shared that victory with you. He shares that confidence with you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. I'll end with this. But there was a mother who was very frustrated with her four-year-old son. They were having a skirmish in the living room. He wasn't listening. Finally, in her frustration, she takes Jimmy and puts him on the sofa and she starts shaking her finger at him. And she says, Jimmy, listen to me. Jimmy, who's in charge? Jimmy had been to Sunday school. Mama, Jesus is in charge. That was not the answer that she was looking for. You ever want to be in charge? It's a really good thing we're not. Please remember that Jesus is in charge. He's in charge of the universe. He's in charge of his church. He's in charge of you and me, who, like that first audience, are living in the trenches. And he is in charge for you. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And beautiful Savior, Jesus cares for you. Beautiful Savior, thank you for keeping the main thing the main thing. Beautiful Savior, thank you for loving and encouraging your pastor and his family. And I know, especially from him, his love and care for you as the shepherd God sent. And I also know this about you, that you care about the people who aren't here this morning. And you got room for them too, right? So thanks for all you do. It was great to be here today. I love your pastor. He's got a beautiful family. And I know the Lord has some really good things in store for you. Just remember, the devil's on a leash. The devil lost. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Amen.